Oh, wait, this won't do. Hold on. We got to play something first.
Scary, Richard.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, Scott. Hey, Sith Lordly.
It is Ron Supreme God's special Halloween Spooky Scary Edition. I'm John over here.
And I'm Richard.
Yeah. Well lit, Richard. I got the
sorry.
I got Halloween stuff going on, and you're like, got all
we,
that
we lighting. Celebrate differently.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody that is in the live stream. This is our first live episode, so give us a second here and make sure that we're not screwing things up. It looks like everything's working. Hi, what's up, Sparks Comics? What's up, Scott? What's up, Sith? Richard, who else do you see? I see Joey does comics. Dr. C, Dr. Cactus. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I could hear you. I was just trying to bring up Instagram so I could see.
Oh, can you see the chat on here, though?
Yeah, yeah, oh, I can see the chat, but I can't see who's on.
Be fun.
Hey, this guy, Dan.
There you go.
Yeah, he's got a lot more invested in his costume. I'm playing Fat Lando from Star Wars 9. One sandwich too many, I think, is the tagline for that movie.
Let's see the costume. Can we see it a little bit?
No. This is all you're seeing. Okay, this is it.
All right. Well, obviously, I'm Quasar, or bald, beardy Quasar. I would stand up and show you more of it, but I'm not wearing any pants.
even more of a reason to stand up.
I didn't want to wear pants tonight. You know, it's quarantine. Oh, that's going to get us flagged again. hey, if you're not following us at Bronze and Modern Gods on Facebook and Instagram, then how the heck did you find out about tonight anyway? So I think we don't have to go through that. We are here to talk about our favorite scary comic book.
Scary comics.
Oh, yes. And we
I want to give a shout out to Nerd Herd for having us on last week. Appreciate it. I see some people here from there, so.
You get the quantum band salute. You get the two quantum band salute. All right. Also, stick around for this live stream because we are giving away a spooky lot of spooky comics from the Bronze Age. High grade shit, or high grade stuff. Sorry. God. We've got lots of high grade bronze here. And we're going to give it away to one of you guys. Plenty of you guys entered. So stick around. Make sure you're here. And that is coming up. And also, we're looking at the chat. If there's something you want to jump in with, please let us know. We will be happy to chat with you. The sound effects.
What the hell is going on?
Someone's being murdered in the back. You know, the usual what happens around here. But I say let's just get right to it, Richard. Let's talk about our favorite... our favorite scary, spooky comic books. And I'm looking at my notes here. My first one is, first of all, big ups to Dan. What's Dan's ID again? This guy, Dan, for suggesting this special episode. It was his comment that inspired this, so we want to make sure that you get the credit this guy
did. This is your fault.
Yes.
That I'm wearing the costume.
We're grown men in costumes talking about funny books.
We're talking about people in costumes, so it's all right.
I blame you. So let's get started. I can kick us off and talk about some of my favorite stuff once I get this set up here. I got a little screen share happening that I'm running the show and I'm talking at the same time. But let's talk about... There we go.
Nice.
Werewolf by Night. I like how they were very specific with that. Marvel Spotlight number 2 is one of my favorite books of the Bronze Age for a couple of reasons. Here's my slabby 7.5. It's the best. the best I can do, you know. But Marvel Spotlight number 2 is the first appearance of Werewolf by Night, which, by the way, do you know what Werewolf by Night, his civilian name is, his real name? It's the best. Jack Russell.
Okay.
Like a little doggy. Jack Russell. Werewolf by Night number 2. It has this great Neil Adams cover. It's got Mike Ploog art inside. It's a great story introducing the curse of Jack Russell and the Darkhold. But it also has, because it's a giant size issue, they had to fill it up some. They had to fill it with some reprints. And what do you think they picked to be reprinted in the back of this, Richard? Any idea?
No, I haven't read this one.
A Venus reprint from the 50s.
Wow. Wow. Right up your alley then.
Right in my sweet spot. I love me some Venus. I'm looking at Scott. You are absolutely right. There's big spec happening on Marvel Spotlight number 2 right now. Not only is there a new series that debuted last Wednesday, New Comic Book Day, written, by the way, this is another thing that I didn't know until this week. Do you know the new series is co-written by Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas?
That's cool. You told me. That's awesome.
I mean, it's pretty random. I you would think they would promote that a little bit more, but I guess not. But yes, lots of big spec on this book. There's rumors of a Hulu series coming. Who knows if that's ever going to come to fruition? But you know, there you go. It is.
Yes, Robbie.
I did say
Dark Horse. Yeah.
Rob Townsley says, I always wanted to be a werewolf. That would have been so cool. Did you say Dark Horse? Yeah. I meant to say Darkhold, and you know, what can I say? Just slipped out. So that is my first book, Marvel Spotlight number 2. Richard, what do you have?
Okay, my first pick is going to be a iconic classic, and that is Crime Suspense Stories number 22.
Ooh. Ooh,
this is the famous decapitation book that was a part of the reason why we have the comic code nowadays.
PC. Hey kids, come.
It's actually this is a part of a series, and it's a number of short stories that all have the same kind of format where at the end, the person gets what they deserve. And but this is great. The decapitation, like I said, this is one of the books that back in the 50s, people contested its presence on the newsstand, because obviously you don't want your 8-year-old picking up a book with some decapitated woman. And so the comic book industry, facing a lot of legal challenges, decided to self-police, and that's how the comic code came about. And we lost the ability to have these kinds of beautiful covers until the comic code finally disappeared. I'm not really sure of the last year of it, but it was in the last 10 years that the comic code stopped being followed by a majority of the publishers.
2011, I think, is when Archie was the last one to say bye, we're done.
Yeah. So this is my I love the cover. The stories in it are good. There are reprints of it. I've got a reprint from who is this? A Gemstone, and they reprinted all 26 issues. Yeah, all 26 issues as licensed. These are licensed by EC. So beautiful books. You can find these still for a reasonable amount of money on eBay. And this is a great opportunity. I got this as 9.8. I got this graded. And it's an opportunity for me to have this book on the shelf. The original is very expensive. And but anyway, that's my first pick.
Roberto. Damn, throw that off. And Dr. Cactus wants to know, Richard, how much I had to pay to get the real Lando on today's show.
As I said earlier, I am Fat Lando from one of the later movies. I work on spec, so I guess just give me a sandwich and I'm good.
Hey, I want to let everyone on Instagram know I just got a message from our buddy DD Comics Fan that we are not showing up in landscape on the live feed. Try turning your phone to the side. See if that works. If it doesn't, sorry. We're still figuring this out. So that's it. And we want to say hello to some people that have joined us since we started here. Ariosto, I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name, but welcome. We got Comic Forge in the house from the Pressable Defects. We got the entire Spine Ticks crew up in here.
All right.
You know, so thanks everybody for joining us. I'm going to move on to my next book. I'm going to keep in that Marvel Spotlight theme, and I'm going to pick, well, and I think this is pretty obvious because it's one that I think Dan actually suggested we talk about. If I can get my screen share. Sorry, everybody. I'm all thumbs tonight.
You'll have to wait and see what our choices or our picks are.
Oh, yeah. All right. There it is. Ooh, the first appearance of the Ghost Rider. Marvel Spotlight number 5 again. More Mike Ploog. We got a great Mike Ploog cover. You've got a story which, you know, I think about 4 people were involved in the creation of Ghost Rider. You've got Michael Friedrich. You've got Roy Thomas, Mike Ploog, and Stan Lee all kind of taking part in the creation of Ghost Rider. Good old Johnny Blaze. I grew up with Johnny Blaze. If anybody in the chat is as old as Richard and I, you remember Ghost Rider was a dog of a book. It was always one of the lowest selling Marvel titles. It really just kind of survived and scraped by bi-monthly for years and years. And then like in the mid or in the late 70s, early 80s, it was kind of like a big newsstand seller. It didn't sell very well in the direct market, but newsstand sales really kept this book alive much longer than it should have, frankly. But Ghost Rider was originally a Western hero in the 50s created by Dick Ayers, the Ghost Rider. And then when he came over to Marvel, they wanted to revive that old property because it had lapsed into public domain and Marvel wanted to grab that trademark. So they published a Knight Rider book. They renamed the original Ghost Rider the Knight Rider. Then later on, he became the Phantom Rider. It's a whole thing. So, you know, but yes, Dean, you beat me to it. Do you know about Ghost Rider before this one, the Cowboy? Yes, the Knight Rider. So, yeah, Ghost Rider, it's kind of revisionist history, Richard, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I'm sorry. You know, Nicolas Cage ruined the Ghost Rider for me. I'm still recovering from that. But no, this is a great cover. I mean, just in general, the composition of it, it's one of my favorite Marvel Spotlight covers ever.
It's scary too. Super tough book to find in high grade because look at that. You've got a black picture frame cover. So it picks up every imperfection. Also a book you find restored a lot because you get people back in the day, trying to take that little Sharpie and fixing those white spots. And don't do that, people, please. Don't do that. So there's that. Now, Ghost Rider was revived in the late 80s, early 90s as Danny Ketch with, you know, Javier Salteras, Howard Mackey, had a big run there until the mid-90s. And, you know, I've lost track. Is Robbie Reyes still the new Ghost Rider? Let us know in the comments. Last I knew, he had some sort of robotic looking head and drove a Corvette. I don't know, a Dodge Challenger or something. I did see Ghost Rider on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Kind of like that season. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
You're like, I never watched that, John.
I don't know. And recently, he's been a pretty hot title. You've got Ghost Rider Destroys the Marvel Universe series, which was pretty entertaining.
All right. So there you go. We're going to bring up Richard's next one. The chat seems to be hopping. I love that.
Okay. All right. Before John brings this my title up, I just want to tell you, I have not read this book. I am not a horror person by nature. So I picked these, a lot of them, by cover. This is a disturbing cover. It's amazingly disturbing. So go ahead and bring it up.
I'm bringing the sound effects up for this one.
Oh.
Yeah. This is Teether number one. Teether has a series of really disturbing covers like this. It is so disturbing that I was too terrified to actually read the book. But if you are into that kind of that kind of horror, the disfigurements, that kind of stuff, the Teether series is full of covers like this. Exactly. So yeah, it is yuck, definitely, Rob. So this is one of my I see this cover every now and then as I'm flipping through things, and I just go, wow, that's an amazing piece of art, but I sure don't want that in my house.
Can't fight the Teether. Can't fight the Teether.
So if anybody's actually read this series, give us a synopsis of what do you think about it. Again, is this something that just struck me as?
And then turn yourself into the local authorities.
Oh, there are more. There are more covers that I could have picked that are just as disturbing. So,
what is going on? Is she teething?
I have no idea. I have no idea, and I'm afraid to dig too much into it. You know, it's one of those kinds of yeah.
I think you can get that lasered off if you see a good jump shot.
Yeah, you know. Dr. Cactus, it'd be a good jump shot, jump scare if you saw this in a box.
I've never seen that book. Where did you find that?
It came up and through my normal process. You know, I look at all books as they come out, and this is one of the series that came up. There are other series like this, like Baby Teeth, which is another series that has some.
Teething.
I don't know,
man.
But there, you know, this kind of horror is popular with a certain group of people, and the covers are indicative of that.
Well, you guys will love my next one because it's like like a sorbet. You know, when you're at a restaurant, and you're having like a 5-6 course meal, and they give you a little sorbet so you can cleanse your palate. Here's Rawhide Kid 22.
Weak sauce.
Just, you know, cleanse the palate. Come back down after that last one. Rawhide Kid 22. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. I'm going to give Jack Kirby the majority of the credit for this story because it just stinks of Jack. Basically, an alien comes down to Earth, poses as a totem pole, and tries to take over the Earth, and it's up to the Rawhide Kid and his two six shooters to stop him. So there you go.
Okay. Can you give us a spoiler? Does he manage to stop him?
Oh, yeah. He falls off that cliff. Spoiler alert. I love this book. It's just it's a beautiful cover. Those browns, and, you know, it's just a great early Marvel, pre-Fantastic Four, Lee and Kirby. Good stuff. Good stuff. So, Totem is so cute. He is. He's adorable. Look at him. Dr. C called him terrible. And, of course, Steven from Minor Keys Comics, you are 100%. You knew I'd figure a way to shoehorn the Rawhide Kid.
Yeah, Kirby was going to get in here someplace.
Joey, you're right, man. It's good. If you want to read it on the cheap, it's reprinted in the Essentials. It's available digitally. So check it out. All right, Richard, what you got next?
Next one is a little less disturbing, but still kind of interesting. And that's Immortal Hulk number 8.
Ooh. This one's going to be a tiny one, I think. Okay. So forgive me for, I just removed you. Sorry. Live shows, people. This is why we edit. There he is.
Oh, okay. That's good size.
All right.
The whole Immortal Hulk storyline is a really interesting one. It takes Hulk in a completely different direction. And there's an aspect of horror to it. In this particular issue, Immortal Hulk is immortal. He can shoot him. People have blasted holes in his chest, and he's just unstoppable. So they did manage to finally to stop him temporarily. And the best they could do to examine him, they cut him into individual chunks. So each one of those jars is a piece of the Immortal Hulk. And
he's changing, everyone run.
It's one of those issues you're like, okay, how is he coming back from this? They cut him up into 9 jars and stuck him on a shelf. But he did manage to come back from it, and the story continues. But I love this cover. It's a great story. If you haven't read Immortal Hulk, you're missing out. It's getting a little long in the tooth right now, but the early issues are really, really enjoyable.
And it's also kind of where Al Ewing got his start. People love them some Al Ewing writing, and he was kind of delivering on a few things. There's some other titles that he's writing that are really good. So I kind of like some Al Ewing.
And Alex Ross covers, you can't beat that. His covers are just amazing for this series.
Yeah, I mean, between Immortal Hulk and Captain America, Alex Ross is killing it on covers. All right, my next one is, we made reference to her, excuse me, earlier, but look at this one. Venus number 19. Yes, Venus was a strange duck in the Atlas pre-Marvel genre skipping kind of book. It started off as a romance title. Like, for example, here's a cover from when it was a completely different type of book. Venus, the goddess of love, comes to Earth and tries to find love with a mortal. How romantic. About issue 8 or 9, she starts kind of going in a superhero direction. She's fighting Loki. Yes, Loki in the 50s for Marvel. If you don't know it, check it out. Excuse me, I'm being infected by the disease. And so what ends up happening is they move it to sci-fi about issue 10 or so. It starts becoming very science fiction. Basically, anytime there was a trend happening in the 50s, this title jumped on it. Bill Everett came on the book with issue 13 and turned it into a straight-up horror title. And it is, those are the issues that are very, very tough to find. Venus number 19 is the last issue. Classic pre-code horror cover right here. Super, super tough to find, period. I think 1.8s go for about $3,000. Excuse me. And it is, you know, a really cool Bill Everett cover and art inside. If you look in the background, look at the 3 spooky dudes, kind of like in the cowls and everything back there. It is one book. When I had my Venus run, I had every single issue except for number 19. I was never able to find an affordable 19.
So let me get this straight. So if you bought issue 1, and then you went away for a little bit, and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go back to a nice light romance story, and you picked up issue 19.
you would not recognize it. Well, she had the same outfit on, you know, that white gown she wore. That was about it. And what's really weird, you've never read this title. There's a Marvel Masterworks that they really screwed up with the Marvel Masterworks. They reprinted the first 9 issues. And then they never did the latter half of the run. The latter half of the run is where the money is. That's what it would have sold. I mean, I understand them wanting to do it chronologically, but it's the same supporting cast the whole way through. She works for this newspaper. You know, it kind of stays the whole way through, the same supporting cast. It just gets weird and genre hopping. And it's just a great cover.
Yeah, you know, I've looked at this cover a number of times, and I never noticed those 3 figures in the background.
That's what I love. Creepy. Really spooky. All right, what do you have next?
Okay, what's on next on my list? Okay, this is a book
someone already mentioned this in the chat, so you beat them to it.
Yeah, we talked about this on the Nerd Herd show. If you haven't watched that, it premiered this past Sunday, so go ahead and check it out. But this is the Department of Truth number 2, the 1 in 25 variant. This is possibly the most disturbing cover of 2020. In a year of disturbances, this is a very disturbing cover.
Really?
Yeah, the storyline is really interesting. It's all about how reality is based on the perception of the masses. So this whole department is out there that's trying to stop conspiracy theories and like flat earthers and things like that from altering reality. And you know, there's this cabal, this group that they're opposing. And I'm assuming this gentleman here is one of those groups. Well, you know, one of that group. But this scene here, this cover here with him with his knife and fork and the newborn baby is just thanks, Rob. It's just, you know, oh good Hood Rat, because this to me is going to be one of those covers that in 10 years is just going to be iconic. You know, it's the composition again is excellent on this. The menace is implied. I think it's a great cover. So this will be out on this week, actually. So check your LCS, see if you can find one. yeah, John named this one.
I call this the QAnon variant.
But I'm desperately really interested in reading this book. The first issue was excellent. It focused on kind of a background. This one is going to be a little more in depth. So let's. I can't wait to see how this story develops over time.
I know we're going to get flagged. Our fourth episode in a row to get flagged by YouTube. You know, so I have another John like pick. Sorry, mine tend to be what I like. I'm trying to find the thumbnails. There he is. All right. My next pick is a strange one, and I use that with the pun intended. Before Doctor Strange, there Marvel had another mystic, another master of the occult that was created by Lee and Kirby, and it was in a book called Amazing Adventures. Amazing Adventures 1-6 featured a character who was a traveler and stumbled across a temple and had to fight a mystic menace and became an occult master himself. Does that sound familiar? Well, then you probably know all about Dr. Droom.
Oh, God. No. That's terrible.
Dr. Droom? What? Dr. Droom ran in Amazing Adventures 1-6. It was actually the first Marvel Age superhero, you could argue. It was not a success. It did not set the sales charts on fire. But Dr. Droom himself hung around the Marvel Universe and became Dr. Druid. Now, if you know about Dr. Druid, that's this guy. See, there he is. Weird Wonder Tales number 19 from the 70s reprints the first appearance of Dr. Droom. But obviously, because Dr. Doom had come since, they changed his name and his appearance to Dr. Druid. Minor keys. You're right, Steven. The first Marvel superhero. Roberto didn't even know about Dr. Droom. Neither did Dave. Rob, I am dropping some Marvel knowledge on you guys. Now, here is the weird thing about poor Dr. Droom, okay? These were not enlightened times, all right? So I'm reading the story again, kind of preparing for this episode, and I forgot about this part in the origin that, you know, is kind of problematic today. And it made me laugh so hard that I had to share it. This is where the most impossible thing of all has happened. For as I held the aged man's hand, I began to change. My eyes, they're becoming slanted. And I've a mustache. Yes, he changed to an Asian man. With the worst yellow face. The excuse was the old man transformed him to give him the appearance suitable for his new role. I guess he had to be Asian. So there you go. Dear Lord. Dan, you're right.
Oh, yeah. You gotta take all this stuff in context, you know, with the age. They're definitely less sensitive than we are nowadays.
I'm telling you. Scott, you're right. He looks like a fat Vincent Price. And Sith, there you go. But, you know, if you have not checked out the early Amazing Adventures, they're super affordable. They are not expensive. And it's a Marvel superhero before there was a Marvel superhero, pretty much. All right. What you got, Richard?
Next one is Something is Killing the Children, number one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. This book is actually, this series is excellent. If you didn't pick up number one, I'm sorry. There is a special foil edition that's available this week for local comic book dealer day or comic book shop day, LCSD. So pick up a copy of this for $5 for it. This book is creepy and scary because it normalizes stacks of dead bodies to a level that I never thought I could be comfortable with seeing. Not only stacks of dead bodies, but stacks of children's dead bodies. And it's prevalent throughout the entire series, and it's done in a way that you're still able to read it and get through it and recognize that they're there, but you know, it's not stopping me from reading the book. And again, it's normalizing this. I see some great covers mentioned. The Frizon, Jenny Frizon cover is gorgeous. The A cover, which is what this one here is going for big money right now. If you picked up number one, there are a number of other covers that are beautiful in the series. If you're not reading this, pick it up because it is a good story in the backdrop of all of this gruesome horror.
Ooh.
But it's still readable. I never thought I'm flipping through the book. Oh, there's a stack of dead children. Yeah, okay. And you're flipping through the book like that, and you just accept it. And that to me is a certain level of horror that they've managed to make that so acceptable to the reader. And I applaud them for that. Yeah, it's boom, definitely boom. They're putting out some really good stuff right now. The independents are really cranking out some good titles.
Remember, makes it kind of the Muppets.
The what?
The Muppets.
Did they do Muppets?
Boom started doing Muppet comics.
Oh man, I gotta go get number one.
And Peanuts and yeah.
Yeah, this is a little different from the Muppets. Okay, this is a tiny bit different. Yeah, if you like horror, if you like a good story, Something is Killing the Children is good. It started a whole trend with these titles of books that are sentences now. It eats what feeds it. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a whole bunch of titles that are kind of like that. And also there is a good homage cover for Department of Truth for this cover as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's got the lady in red on the cover. And so if you get an opportunity, pick that up too. Great book.
And the later printings are actually pretty spec worthy. I think the fourth printing is selling for $140, 9.8 slabbed already. The sixth printing is my pick for a book that will be super underordered and eventually be an expensive book. It's got a different cover. Not a lot of shops got it. So if you can grab the sixth printing, yes, issue one is now in its sixth printing.
I think this is actually a justified sixth printing. Some of the Marvel sixth prints right now are staged. I think this is really the demand for this book just came out of nowhere and surprised the publisher. So we've been trying to feed that demand. So sixth print's probably going to be a low print run, and definitely pick them up.
All right. My next pick is a little spookier, a little scarier, not as goofy as my other picks have been. I actually went there. It's not a gory book. It's more psychological and suspenseful horror. And that is Steve Gerber's original run on Man-Thing in Adventure of Fear 10 through 19 in the 70s and Man-Thing number 1 through 22. Steve Gerber had a way of taking a book about a mindless, shambling swamp monster and fill it with genuine dread and unease and horror. If you ever see the Power Records comic book of Man-Thing number 5, where it came with a book and 45 record and you could read along with it as you played the record, it creeped me out as a kid. It's about a clown, a circus clown whose girlfriend dumps him. He gets humiliated in front of everybody at the circus and he goes to the swamp and he kills himself, but he doesn't quite die. And, you know, here I am, like 8-year-old Johnny with his record player reading this Power Records book, scarred for life. Thanks, Steve Gerber. Fear 19 featuring the Man-Thing is also the first appearance of my boy, Howard the Duck. And it is already a very tough book in grade, very expensive book. It's an excellent read. There's been a couple of Man-Thing essentials. I would just get the first one, really. I don't think you need the second one with the 80s series reprinted. The 80s series is a pale shadow of this series. So Man-Thing, Steve Gerber.
Yeah, I love this.
Sorry, I want to point out, yes, Scott, I have seen Your Giant-Sized Man-Thing, particularly issue 4, which is another great story about a kid, a very nerdy comic book collector that gets bullied at school and kind of gets a Carrie-like revenge thanks to our good friend, the Man-Thing. So, scary kids.
I was just going to say, Man-Thing is one of those books that I grew up with before I started collecting comics. You know, there's that period of time where you're reading them and you're treating them like they were just pieces of paper and you'd buy them and read them. And Man-Thing was one of those series. Definitely low-grade horror, but horror nonetheless. I definitely would pick up the first series. The first series is a great read. At least as far as my teenage, preteen mind remembers.
But we're seeing some activity on that now too. I mean, I thought I saw issue 1 from the 80s series sell for a crazy amount during a live sale. DD Comics fans in the live chat, I think he might be able to remind me of what it sold for, because we were both kind of like, wait, why is that? I think it was like selling for $30 or $40, which was ridiculous. So there's that.
Yeah.
What is your next book?
Oh, my next book, this pick is strictly for the cover. It is a classic 50s book, Black Cat Mystery number 50. I can't imagine in the 50s seeing this book on the shelf. This is a disturbing cover. It has, as far as I know, I have not been able to find a reprint of this. If anybody knows of a reprint of this book, please let us know. I'd love to read it. I've seen some photocopies that people are selling on eBay, but that's not the same thing. This is a tough book to get in high grade. Look at all that black, and that's, you know, also a book from the 50s. But yeah, look at that. You've got a guy with his teeth falling out, his jaw falling off, his bones showing up. It's, oh God, this is another one of those pre-code horror books that white heat. This is another one of those pre-code horror books that that definitely is worth the money
if you can afford it. It goes for some serious coin. This is Lee Elias cover, I believe. And again, you've got a black cover that picks up every imperfection. People read these books back then. And, you know, just if you see Radium, don't eat it.
Yeah, it's a good tip. Good tip.
Don't pick it up. Black Cat Mystery, that also is the classic Misfits cover, right? With the glass and the woman's skull.
Yeah.
So some very iconic, yes, B-Fung, you are right, iconic horror covers here. All right, the chat is hopping with people making suggestions, Richard. So let's talk about a few of these. Comic Jump. Something about haunted romance creeps me out. I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about that gothic horror romance wave that happened in the early 70s. Charlton had a book called Gothic Tales of Romance. There was Haunted Romance, the actual title. DC had a couple called Sinister House of Secret Romance, Dark Mansions of Forbidden Love. It was this whole genre where, and in some House of Mysteries and House of Secrets covers too, where you always had this woman in like a big white nightgown running in outside away from a castle with like one single light in the castle. There were like 90 covers like this. It was a whole gothic genre. So absolutely. Richard, this is all you.
Yeah, Ice Cream Man, definitely. I actually looked at adding it to the list. There's so many good covers in that series. And it's an anthology series, so every book is separate and is standalone. Every story is standalone. That is a great, great series. It's definitely horror, and it's also, it's got a certain twist to it that you can't really, you know, it takes stories and adds its own unique spin to it. But definitely pick up number one if you can find it. Number 20 is probably the most recent one that stands out to me. It's the Dr. Seuss cover. They have a number of prints of that are different Dr. Seuss themes. But yeah, it's hard to pick a specific issue of that series because every issue is so unique.
Yeah. One last one. Rob Townsley points out the Creeper was actually created when Jack Ryder was drugged and dressed as a jester at a Halloween party. That's actually right. That is his origin. It happened at the TV station Halloween party because he was a news anchor or something. So
really,
yeah, the Creeper is creepy. All right, you want to pick a winner?
Sure, let's do it.
Let's do it. I think we've rambled on enough for tonight. So let me bring up our little random generator here. Let me close this window. Sorry, everybody. Da, da, da. All right.
I almost picked some Elvira titles too. Elvira number one. I thought for anybody who's a boob fan, you can't go wrong with Elvira covers.
All right. If you like them snoobs, grab some Elvira. All right. We're going to pick a random name. You have to still be on. There's still 17 of you that I see that have held out. So hopefully you're in the chat. And here we go. Beep, bop, bop, beep, boop, boop, boop. We have. Well,
look at fun.
Barry, are you here? Barry, speak up. I think I still see you there. Congratulations, Mr.
Fun. He's friend of the show. Thanks, man.
We're very appreciative of you being here. You win this.
Vampirella too, Scott. Yes.
Oy, this amazing prize package of 13 spooky books. I'm giving you, like, first of all, we talked about it today. You're even going to get a copy of Man-Thing 22. You're going to get that first reprint, the first appearance of Dr. Droom / Druid. Just a whole lot more fun books. And while I have it here, this is the last issue of Werewolf by Night when it wasn't selling anymore, and they tried to make Jack Russell into a superhero, so he's teaming up with Iron Man. Oh, stop it.
Desperate.
So congratulations. Be fun. And everybody, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going to get out of here. Make sure if you are not following us at Bronze and Modern Gods, you do so. And we will see you next Monday. Bye, Richard.
Bye. Bye, John. Everybody's...